Call the September 12, 2013 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call roll.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Ms. Kunde?
Here.
Why did I just forget? Mr. Ford is not here yet. Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
And we have a new board member, Mrs. Sonia Lucas. And Mr. Sino and Mr. Brown is here.
All righty. Everyone had a chance to review our August 8th, 2013 meeting minutes. If so, I'll take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any board members need to disclose any ex parte communications? Seeing none, as far as our announcements, first we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome and allow Ms. Lucas to introduce herself to us. Just, yes. I will definitely yield to our attorney to explain ex parte communication so it's done properly. And then we'll allow yourself, allow you to introduce yourself, Ms. Lucas. You know, if you can just explain.
Basically, what it is, the quick answer to your question is that when you're not supposed to discuss the case other than here. So if someone writes you something, give it to, just don't even read it, just give it to the board secretary. If you run across someone in Walmart or something like that, say thank you very much, but I can't talk to you.
Okay.
That's your case. Okay. You can't talk to members of the board outside of this hearing. You can't talk to anybody about the case outside of this hearing. Now, if for some reason it happens, let's say, for example, someone comes up to you and starts talking to you, or someone sends you a letter and you do read it, the best thing to do is just disclose. Say, look, I did get this letter from Citizen Smith. I gave it to Amy to share with everybody. However, it's not going to affect my decision here today. I want to disclose it, and then you're fine. So the important thing is don't talk to anybody about the cases. Don't talk to each other about these cases except here. If for some reason you get information about the case, disclose, and you'll be fine.
Okay,
and that's a quick way to answer your question.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Ms. Lucas, you want to give us a brief intro of yourself, and again, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Good morning. I am actually a Daytona native, but after graduating from college in 1970, I left Daytona and did not return until 2003. But I've lived everywhere. I worked for IBM for many years in New York when I graduated, then went to Boston and worked, and finally settled in San Francisco with my husband that I met in Boston, and lived in San Francisco from 1975 till 2003. I moved here. My mother was here alone. My father had passed. My husband was killed in a car accident. Our two daughters were on the East Coast in college, and all I was doing was just running back and forth. And my mother and Dr. Bronson just begged me and begged me and begged me to return, and I did. And it was really a good move for me. I worked at Bethune-Cookman College since 2003 when I came to last year when I retired. And retiring is boring to me. I can't fly every day to somewhere, so I need to have a base here at home and to do something that's worthy, and that's why I decided to get on one of the boards.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and it's a pleasure to have you, and I think this makes us full now, right, Amy? Full board. Good, good, good. All righty, all members of staff that will be testifying today, would you please rise and be sworn in?
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth,
the
whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
Don't feel afraid. If you don't understand something or you have a question, just ask.
Okay. No problem.
Absolutely.
You'd be a veteran after one meeting. But you will.
And that's the way we learn, by asking.
That's right.
And we have a very able attorney for us. You can ask Tony stuff, but you know. But John is ours, okay? All righty, all members of the audience that will be testifying today, when you come to the microphone, please speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. At this time, are there any attorneys present that will be representing clients today? Please step forward, sir. Identify yourself and your client, please.
My name is Jeff Bronk, and I represent Econo-Malls LP out of Quebec, Canada. They're here today on a lien review request.
Lien review number 2.
Excuse me, I just might mention it's not really ex parte, but I tried to hire this gentleman last week on the phone, and I didn't realize. So I get to meet you.
All righty.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Amy, do we need him to, do you have his information? Do we need him to state it, address?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. What we'll do is we'll hear from staff at this time, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, sir.
And your last name again?
Brock.
Brock. Okay.
And this is on your addendum.
Good morning, members of the board. This is Anthony Jackson speaking as on behalf of the City of Daytona Beach, Assistant City Attorney. And this is for a lien review, CEB 041344. 200 North Ridgewood Avenue, Econo Malls, LP number 15. And I believe you have the lien review request. And hopefully you had a chance to look at that. One of the things that would be immediately noted is that the inspector's comments says no reduction. And here's why. And I'm sure Mr. Garcia want to give some information on that, but we have discussed it a little bit as well, and so I'll share what he's told me, and then I'll let him follow with anything else. I think the board may recall that this is a case that came before the board, and we came back and forth several times. It's a situation where we have a business that's on a major corridor of the city, in an area where there's great effort of improvement. The nature of the repairs were not repairs that were of great difficulty. To improve the landscaping, which is an apparent standard of importance, and to clean up behind the dumpsters and in the front. There was great excitement to see an improved and established business at that location, but there was disappointment in the efforts that the city was getting as they made their efforts to make contact. Now, I saw in their response in the to the request that the owners of the business, I guess that's had indicated that they themselves were not really the ones at fault, but rather the lessees, the Family Dollar, and that although all the information was given to the management, and it wasn't passed along to the owners. And they indicated that they felt that their owner efforts should be acknowledged. However, the position of the board is, position of staff is that for a commercial lien review, the amount that accrued, while it is substantial, it's about $7,000. It's reasonable based upon the effects that it had on the conditions of that region of the city and the necessity for those improvements. The fact that the store had that information, was put on notice, and was their tenant is not something that the city believes should be to the detriment of the city or to the citizens or to the other businesses around it, but should be something worked out between the owner and the tenant and whatever way they desire to satisfy what they may feel is this obligation as it relates to the tenant's failure to act in a responsible way. So with all of that being said, that's the position of the city they asked for a full waiver. Well, absolutely no waiver. And, in fact, the position of the city is that there be no reduction at all. And I don't know if Mr. Garcia has anything else he wants to add to that.
morning, members of the board.
I think
Mr. Jackson has eloquently stated how we feel in regards to this. Notice was given to both the tenant as well as the property owners in regards to that. It is a new building. The landscaping and the shrubs and trees that were dying, it should have been under warranty and it should have been acted on immediately upon them seeing it, that it was failing. No action was taken, and unfortunately we ended up here before the board and opposed was in fine. Again, we feel that staff's recommendation is that no reduction be done. They had enough ample opportunity to correct the violation. If it was stalled, it wasn't by us, so therefore the lien should stand.
One other thing I failed to point out that I did want to acknowledge as well. I know they indicated in their response that they were not getting the mail as well, but we mailed it to the name and address on the tax roll that's required by statute. We did additional research to make sure we found whomever we could find, to make sure we tried and took additional efforts even in making further contact with someone who we hadn't made contact with in the past to try and get this remedy. So, once again, I know they indicated now they've fixed the problem with their mailing address, but at that time it was part of the problem, and again, the city believes that for that reason there should be no reduction.
Let the record reflect Mr. Borns has now joined the meeting. Morning, Mr. Borns. All righty. Any questions for staff at this time? Seeing none. Mr. Brock, if you could, please, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Again, my name is Jeff Brock, and I represent the owner of the property of 200 North Ridgewood, O'Connell Malls LP. They're based in Canada. The presentation that you heard is correct, that the address on the tax rolls is a U.S. address. It's a condominium that was not occupied, and the notice was not forwarded to Canada, so that the owners did not receive notice. And there was, again, this is a Dollar General store that was purchased for investment property. And it's my client's position that when they became aware of the situation, that they took the necessary remedial action with their tenant. There apparently was some confusion by the manager that this was some sort of landlord problem, and it's clearly under the lease a tenant problem. We're asking for either a waiver of the lien or, in the alternative, a substantial reduction. We feel that a $7,000 fine for essentially debris and landscaping that was dying and needed to be replaced is a little severe for the infraction. And so we would ask that you consider a reduction or a waiver of this lien based on essentially due process and the lack of notice to my client. And we have since remedied the problem with providing a good U.S. address for future notices and remedied the situation with our tenant. Thank you.
Mr. Brock, I'm quite certain there may be some questions from the board, but just so that we will have an idea if we entertain it, What is an amount that your client is willing to reduce the lien to if the board entertains reducing the lien?
We feel that $2,000 is a sufficient lien to send a message to the tenant that we would be seeking that money from, not to do this in the future.
Okay. Questions from members of the board for either staff or Mr. Brock?
Yes, Mr. Brock, O'Connell Malls purchased this property in November of 2012, is that correct?
I don't know the exact date, but I know still on their lien request that they are a recent purchaser for investment property.
And,
yes, ma'am.
I think they were noticed in April of 2013. Have you seen pictures of what it looked like?
I have not.
Before the problem was taken care of, it was deplorable.
Right.
And I don't understand why, if you're a landlord, so to speak, that you wouldn't have checked out the property or had someone here that checked out the property either before you bought it or during the time that you've owned it. And I don't understand why you have an address on record that is an empty condo. Mm-hmm. That just shows lack of interest to me.
And I don't disagree with your statements. And they were an out-of-country investor, and they've since remedied both problems. But I understand your point.
Yeah, and thank you for remedying the problems.
Any other questions from board?
You know, except for this has been an ongoing and a big eyesore for some time. I think you've given us three times for someone to come and no one showed up.
Any further questions? Any motions to entertain?
Yes. I make a motion that the fine be there. $6,931.75.
No reduction in fine.
No reduction in fine.
Motion made to
second.
Motion made to leave the fine as is and seconded by Ms. Kundig.
Did she get the updated amount? The additional amount, there's an updated amount because it was not heard last month on the paperwork. There's an updated.
It's
69.63.17.
Okay. Correction, then it's $6,963.17.
Okay.
Is it supposed to be 17?
17.
Motion on the floor and seconded. Motion by Ms. Himes, seconded by Ms. Kundig to leave the lien amount at $6,963.17. Motion made and properly seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Brock.
You.
The board has voted to leave the lien amount as is. But thank you for your time today. All righty. Lien review number one. Property address is 557 Park Drive, Eddies of Volusia, Inc. Request by the new owner, Plymouth Park Tax Services, LLC, care of Chad Tomaroff. Respondent not present, so we will hear from staff shortly.
Give me a moment to,
yes, sir.
Remind myself here. Once again, as the board knows, it's not as typical that I'm handling the lien reviews. However, when we have other counsel, but in this situation, this is CEB 01-10161 557 Park Drive. We had had some contact with the an attorney regarding this property, and they have been discussing this. We've had some discussion with city staff, and city staff was in agreement on a remedy regarding this, and that agreement was that this would be resolved, that the city would make a recommendation and that the resolution be a reduction of lien to $2,000. And
payable how soon, Mr. Jackson?
Payable within the next 30 days.
All right, and board members, we've any questions from the board?
Yeah, can you tell me? Go ahead.
Mr. Jackson, can you just give me a highlight of coming to this reduction? Just
What I'll do is ask if Mr. Garcia can come forward and give you a highlight of what his considerations were for that agreement. Thank you very much.
Morning, members of the board.
Morning.
Just to make it short and brief, the property that was in violation, the case was an old case. Upon the new owners taking over ownership of the property, they brought the property up into compliance immediately. They made the proper corrections. Taking that into consideration, the attorney, through communication with the attorney, I felt that it would be appropriate to reduce the lien because of the expediency of the corrections being made, and we worked out an arrangement to where I would come before you all and make the recommendation of $2,000 payable within 30 days.
They are aware of the reduction?
The recommendation. They are aware of the recommendation. However,
okay,
it's up to the board to
right.
concur with us, and mm-hmm. then they'll be notified, and then the payment will be made within 30 days.
I would say, in good faith, we told them that we would bring it forward, and they weighed the decision whether or not they needed to be here.
Correct.
Us expressing to them that we would bring forward their
request. Okay.
What type?
And the property was purchased through a tax deed. So, in mm-hmm. other words, it went into foreclosure. The property had just been sitting there.
Okay.
They purchased it.
Brought it
back up to par.
What type of property is it? What was the business?
I believe it was a home, and it was all dilapidated. And upon them purchasing it,
mm-hmm.
they went out, demolished it, cleared off all the debris. And
as I looked at my support staff, being reminded that it was a property where they actually paid for it themselves.
Correct.
And so they remedied it.
Okay.
A very effective.
So they basically purchased the property, bulldozed it, and brought it
and
up
we're
to
good.
Par.
Exactly.
By bringing it down to par. All right. Staff recommendation is a reduction in the fine to $2,000 payable within 30 days. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Mrs. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
Yes. I don't understand why it would be reduced so substantially in view of the fact that they purchased it knowing what the liens were.
It was purchased at a tax deed. So they weren't, I mean.
They're still aware of the situation. That's no excuse.
Well, the language.
I don't see a reduction to that
amount. To the liens. So they did. They would have known.
Well, again, that was staff recommendation. If you all feel different, then
I feel like if they went to work between the with the staff and the owners, and they have brought it up to par, I can see giving them the 2,000 deduction.
How far from the time of the actual closing of the tax deed sale to the time they fixed it up? What was the time?
Looks like they purchased it on January 10th, 2012. And they brought it up to par October 26th, 2012. But that's when they purchased it. That doesn't necessarily mean they acquired possession, does it, Mr. Sino?
Okay. It does?
Well, it started in January 2011.
Yeah, what I'm trying to determine when they have final control
right.
and they view of this.
Yeah, but if I could just, and I'm not arguing the defendant because I really was not a part of that negotiation. I probably saw it. I'm sorry, go on.
First notification was made back in 2010.
Right. Okay.
2010, so. The property that sat there dilapidated all this time, they purchased it, and when by the time they acquired it, obtained the permits, the necessary permits that they had to obtain, and they went ahead and demolished it and cleared the property, that's what I took into consideration in the fact of the expediency, and the property now is in compliance.
Okay.
So they responded fairly quickly.
Correct.
Gotcha. Any further questions from the board?
What I don't understand is the fact that they're charged with knowledge of the situation as of the date they purchased. This is no surprise or anything of that sort. They did what they had to do.
Okay, so the property was purchased, it says, by tax deed on January 2012. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
January 10th, 2012. That's when they purchased it, but again... that.
And when did it come into compliance?
I believe...
October 26th.
Yes.
Of 2012.
Of 2012.
Right. Yeah, we don't know how long. Didn't have to have control of that.
Right.
We don't know whether they just took control over it or they
right.
do a title action or not. I'm not sure if to have records or not. And when sometimes you get a tax deed, and I probably know better than I do, have to do a quiet title action.
And quite honestly, I'm not sure what the status was, whether the attorneys were involved early, or did they come in after they determined that what their situation was? But what we all understand is typically, or not typical, but it's very common with tax deed purchases. They're a little bit more less sophisticated in the investment, and they don't have their. They have the general belief that everything is clear on the property because of the tax deed, and they don't realize that municipal liens remain. And so that's not uncommon for them to realize after the fact that, oh, the municipal tax liens are still there, and then start working on a remedy. If they did start working on a remedy, the first thing they would have done is notified us, and we would have told them that they had to get the property in compliance first. So I'm not sure what that time period of information and development was before an attorney actually got involved with them and guided them through to the point where we are today.
Well, I just don't want to mess up our record of working with new owners when they remedy the problem that we've addressed, and I think they did the ultimate of remedying the problem. You know, some people don't like demolition, but sometimes it's easier to knock it down and remove the eyesore than to try and fix up the eyesore. So that's where I stand. Any other questions from the board?
The problem I'm having is that while we have a written kind of history, I don't really know this case. And I'm having a hard time. I can see both points here. So I'm having a hard time because we don't know when they actually. I mean, they bought it in January, and mm-hmm. took them 10 months. I don't know how long it takes any of this stuff to happen.
If I can just say this,
and ignorance can't be an excuse.
Yeah. At least from the staff's perspective, I think what the staff has done is consistent with what we do when someone contacts us right. in this type of situation, and they've taken the right. steps that they've taken to a remedy, mm-hmm. that a substantial reduction is not, this is greater than 10%, this is almost, mm-hmm. 12%, and for about approximate 10% reduction to about 10% is not all that unusual when someone's taken substantial steps in remedying. And this is one where, like I said, it took the remedy of a demolition, which is costly in itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fact remains that they were charged with knowledge of the situation when they acquired the property. I don't see any excuse.
Point duly noted, Mr. Borns. There's a motion on the floor, proper second. Any other questions? Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign.
Opposed.
All right, motion carries. Reduction of the fine to $2,000 payable within 30 days. That concludes our lien reviews. We will now hear cases in the order as they appear on the agenda. Case number CEB071779.
Prior to the meeting commencing, I had asked if we can move case number...
10?
Sorry?
Case number 10?
Yes, case number 10, to put that at the last.
All right.
The agenda, the respondent is here, and he's asked if we can put him as the last case on the agenda, because he has an attorney who's in court right now, and will be coming in later.
All righty. By request of staff and the respondent, case number 10, CB031336, will be moved to later in the agenda. You all will please note that. All righty, case number CEB071379, Phyllis R. Toot and Anita M. Toot, property located at 340 Yorktown Drive. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Uh,
I'm reading a note here, and I just wanted to confirm, since this is a large docket, some of these things overlap, but I think the position of the city here is that we want to dismiss on this, right? Because it's they're pending foreclosure sale? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So we are withdrawing, more or less?
Well, this one is because it is, at this point, it would be a dismissal.
Okay.
It's our case now.
Gotcha. Staff recommendation is dismiss case number CB071379.
Okay.
Gotcha. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Hines, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 2, CB061356, James Rikiki. Property located at 488 Gulf Avenue. Is the respondent present?
He is.
He's coming.
All righty. Mr. Rikiki, if you could come to the microphone, please state your name. Give your property address, please, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
James Rikiki.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All righty, Mr. Rikiki, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
You want to have a seat?
You can have a seat behind you if you want, Mr. Rikiki.
Does that one work? Oh,
you can stand up there. You'll use this mic.
Okay, just so that we know we're on the same page, we're the property at 488 Gulf Avenue. This is before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. And as the as noted on the agenda, the violations are no permit for extending the back end of the garage and enlarging the size of the building. So it's a zoning violation. To this point, position of staff is that there really hasn't been anything significant or substantial done towards remedying the violation, and so staff is asking for a fine to be imposed of $250 per day up to $10,000. And I'll ask if Mr. Fitzgerald has anything else that he would like to add.
No, that's pretty much it. The back of the property was enlarged about 7 years ago.
No more than that. 2004, the hurricanes, it blew off. I came down to get a permit at City Hall. They said I didn't need one because of all that, the variance. But this is a code enforcer issue, but it has to do with my neighbor. And he keeps complaining.
Hold on one second, Mr. Rikiki. I want to make sure staff is finished so we can give you an opportunity.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll respond after.
Okay. Mr. Rikiki, go ahead, sir. Go ahead and explain.
Right. In 2004, during the hurricanes, my roof of my garage and part of my garage blew off the back. I came down to City Hall to get a permit. They didn't issue because everyone, all the damage and everything. So I extended my garage for about 7 feet or 8 feet. And I built a hurricane shelter, safe house, 2x8s, everything, and blah, blah, this, because I have Agent Orange, and I can't breathe, and I have a generator. It has no electricity, no water, nothing. And in case of hurricanes, I can go in there. And so during that episode, my neighbor keeps calling and calling all the time because he's mad at my nephew, and he keeps calling the code enforcer, Jerry Lipke. And it has nothing to actually do. That's how he's getting back at me. But I'm saying as the structure is there, it's built, I applied, I got my survey for the land, and this is on variance with the other neighbor's house. You can look at it, all three lots. My other neighbor's house been there for, I say, 30 years. He built an addition on his, and they all died. They haven't been there in 6 years, and she got a letter stating they're renting rooms out. Jerry Lipke's trying to say that I'm renting my garage out and everything. and I never rented it out or nothing. Never seen a dime. Just I had it set up for a hurricane. It's all false. I need to get an attorney, but I had this instance right. My sister-in-law is going to loan me some money because all my money's been that and seized and everything. But I've been fulfilling the paperwork. The architect finally got the paperwork the other day for a variance on the land. That's what I was trying to get, but he's busy as heck. You know, it takes time. I got all the paperwork. I wanted to get an as-built permit because it's already been built. You know what I mean? The lady down there will not give it to me. She says you got to get a variance. I don't see why. It's been up for 8 years or 10 years.
Have you applied for the variance?
Yeah, I went down there, but I couldn't get the paperwork. I mean, I got the survey, I got everything, the paperwork, all the questions, had to go down to the appraiser's house and get all the letters sent out. You got each step, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got the architect's and things back the other day for the. Now I got to go down there and show her. And I wanted to go as built because it's already there. You know what I mean? There's no water, no electricity in that, but she won't give it to me. Now she says to get a variance.
Yep, and you do have to apply for a variance.
Right.
Mr. Jackson, what's the time period?
Mr. Chair and members of the board, the instruction of a need to apply for a variance isn't new information in this case.
Right. Okay.
In fact, back in June, I believe it was, he was given the time with that anticipation that he would be applying for variance, and last month was pretty much a review to see where what his status was, the status report, and the status was that there was no application done. And so here we are now, 3 months down the road, and he's talking about a variance as though it's a new and fresh idea. He's taken some steps towards that, it appears, or at least that's what he's indicating. When he intends to do that. In the meantime, we're in the status that we're in. So the perspective of staff, okay, and the staff's pointing out that it actually dates back to April with the notification, but I think the order came up in June. And in any sense, here we are. What happens with the variance is that he'd have to go make his application, pay the proper fee, and it's usually
$600.
I know the application deadline used to be closer to the end of the month. I presume it's still somewhere in that time period. And then it's placed on an agenda. It's heard, and they make a decision. I believe that the Board of Adjustment still meets the third week of the month, and it's heard. And if they make a decision granting the variance, then that's fine. They'll he'll have some time to comply. That's what we were anticipating. That's why we had the review last month on the anticipation that he had gone for a variance, made his application, and would have an answer, which he did not have. We didn't have anything then, and so here we are now asking for a fine, as would be anticipated.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Madam Secretary. Last month, was Mr. Rakiki here?
No. So I was incarcerated at the time. He knows that he was at my house.
Okay.
And I called him and I got out.
I'm asking so that we'll know for record.
I called
just
him.
Just want to make a suggestion to you. If you say you're applying for something, there should be a paper trail.
And, right here.
With the application. If you come here and you say you applied, bring the copy. Even if they rejected it, you'd have some kind of a paper trail because we have no way of dealing with that, for you simply say you did this, you did that. There's a paper trail on every single thing that comes before this board.
Right.
So we wouldn't be, if you had that, we would know that you actually did it.
I had it, and I called him, called them to call me back. And Mr. Deeds,
can't
the
rely
architect,
on him. You got to do it yourself.
Well, I called and told him, you know, and he told me just bring in a surveyor, but I have finally got the copy of the architect, the plans. Here, which he's busy, you need to get a guy to do it within a month or two, you know what I mean? It's like he's got 20 other clients, and he rushed it for me.
Mr. Rakiki, let me ask a very direct question. Have you applied for the variance?
I'm going now. I'm going right after here. I went down there, and I didn't have the architect plans. I have everything else. I have the deeds. I have the letters that we sent out to the people. You got to send like 14 copies, and I have everything ready to go right now. As soon as I leave here, I'm going down to her. And she's got to, you know, help me put this together. Yes. Colleen or whatever
well,
it is.
Whatever you do, get some paperwork.
I got
please.
It.
No, I mean from the city or
I called him every time on his phone, tell him okay. what I was doing.
Okay.
I couldn't make the meeting last time. He knows why. And this and that. And I try to do it the right thing, you know.
All right.
I mean, it's been up for 10 years.
Okay.
And there's lies in it. About retina. There's no one ever lived in
we're not. We're not even entertaining that, Mr.
Right,
Kiki. Just so you know, we're here with regards to a matter of the building.
Right.
Not any type of usage of the building, just the building itself. Ms.
Right.
Himes?
Yeah, no, I think what he needs to understand that he needs to get the app. Whether I think they've told him what he needs to be done and he just starts doing that. But he needs to fill out and get the app from the city.
Any other questions? Mr. Smart?
One of the adjustments meets third Monday of the third week.
The third week of the month?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would suggest if they need a button to get on that agenda, you can't just log in.
Right, right. Question I would have for staff, if staff even knows. If the board was to entertain continuing this case till next month, would he have an opportunity to be on the Board of Adjustments agenda by next month with this late of date of our meeting? I know you all can't make that determination, but
it would depend on him getting his application in, what requirements he, if he has all the necessary paperwork. Again, all this has been explained to Mr. Rikiki prior to today's date. I mean, the recommendation that we're asking for in the fine, it is a homesteaded property. But, again, he waits till today to come in and say now he's going to apply for a variance. If he applies for a variance and the variance is granted, he can come in and ask for a reduction, and we'll be more than happy to entertain the reduction at that time. But, you know, we don't know how long it's going to take in an estimation. If he's going to have all the necessary paperwork in on time, we're in the I believe we're going into the second week of September, so he's not going to get it in on time for this month. They'll have to get it in on time for October, which will then push them into a November or possibly December.
Questions from the board?
When did you get your architect's plan?
I got it last week.
Last week.
I called him many times, and him, he's never called me back because I'm a tape recorder and everything.
Mr. Rikiki, do me a favor, sir.
Right.
Please address all of your comments and directions to the board. We're asking you the questions. There's no need of directing anything to staff. At this time, you're before the board. So all of your comments need to be addressing the questions that we ask. There's no need of further blaming anything or anyone right now. We just need you to answer our questions so that we can expedite your matter, however the board chooses to do so, okay?
Right.
Thank you, sir.
I went to Colleen, and what's her name down there, try to get a build as is because a contractor friend of mine told me. Then she's, oh, no, you have to get a variance. I said, I'm doing it. I couldn't get Mr. D's architect because he was so busy, you know what I mean? And he finally drew it, and I called him and told him, and now I'm ready. I got everything to go down there, which she's going to have to, you know, finish. I got all the paperwork, the deeds, the letters, the sent to everybody certified, and I told him and explained to him what the situation is.
Okay.
So.
Any other questions from the board?
Let me just clarify one thing. If we find him now, since it's a homestead property, we're not going to collect now only when the house is sold. Right?
Right.
So if he gets everything, you know, through the Board of Adjustments, everything approved, we can revisit that fine, and we can reduce it down as far as zero, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which we want to.
Do you understand that?
Well, I still don't understand why I'm being fined. I went through all the procedures. I couldn't do nothing because of the architect. I mean, I can't make him, you know, you can only do the procedures and where it was going.
Understood.
And I've been to Colleen's office numerous times, you know, explaining to her. Now I finally got the paperwork to go, and I called them numerous times explaining to him. No one's called me back or explained everything. And I still got my neighbor calling. I'm just stating that I was renting the rooms out of it and collecting rent, and it's all lies. I'm getting an attorney and today, and I'm going to sue some people.
Mr. Rikiki, let me again comfort you by telling you, you are here today because you made an extension on your garage building.
Right.
If you were here for renting rooms in a garage, we would know that. You're not here for that, sir.
In 2004, why did he tell me I didn't have to have a permit when the hurricane came and blew my house and my roof? I got pictures of the garage blown out in the back.
Yeah, I can't answer anything but what's before us now.
Let me get my
was
permit.
Was that a motion that Mr. Smart made?
No, he was asking a question.
Because this building has been there for 10 years, and there are no other code violations before us, I'm inclined to put off the fine until next month to see if he does what he says he's going to do. I haven't made up my mind, but I'm thinking about that.
Thank you.
Ms. Kundig, to put your thoughts into the form of the correct verbiage, are you proposing that we continue our case until next month?
I need to hear a little more
on to that. She's proposing continuing the case until next month to allow the respondent time to apply for the variance that he is seeking. And we will have an idea at next month meeting whether or not he applied for the variance that he needs.
And if
it doesn't, we will know. Yeah, we will have record reflect why we postponed it, if you will.
Mr. Chair, if I can.
Yes, sir.
Just one thing on that. Continue versus amend. By continuing it, that would mean that it would still be subject to fine being going back to this date.
Gotcha.
And
absolutely.
As opposed to amending it so that if he is fined, it won't be next before starting next month, but for starting back to this date. So a continuance would be, I mean, if that's the direction.
That's what I'm saying. So I would like to make a motion to continue this case until the next meeting.
Till our October 12th. October 10th meeting.
October 10th meeting. What else do I have to say? At which time the respondent will be brought back in front of the code board to make certain that application has been made to the building department for a variance, and that we will consider an imposition of a fine retroactive to today. If those things don't happen, we will. That's what I said. We will.
I second.
Motion made, and Amy copied it down and seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
Mr. Rakicki, you understand now the ball's in your court.
Right.
Next time you come back here, you have some kind of evidence or the filled-out application or something that you've done what you say you've been doing. Give us some physical proof that you did that. Because unfortunately, in today's world, if you don't put it in writing, it doesn't exist.
Well, Colleen's going to have to help me, I guess. I got all the paperwork for her.
Where
we're going to fill it out and, pay the $600.
Yeah.
She's charging me this and all this. Everything I'm supposed to have, I have now.
Okay.
Because it was the whole
court. It's in your court. So we're trying to help you here.
Right. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You give me a break. I appreciate it.
And just for clarification, if I can, a staff wanted this clarification as well. The your next review will be the actions that he's taken, I presume, not.
Correct.
Because if it's merely that he's putting an application in, if it's not paid for, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So
we
would have to get the application and do the steps required to get himself on an agenda.
Yes.
So, okay. Just wanted to make sure that was the clarification.
All right. Further questions from the board? Seeing none, motion made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
it.
Mr. Rakiki, my encouragement to you is to contact Mr. Fitzgerald at the conclusion of this meeting to make sure you have a full understanding of what the board has done and what you need to do.
I will take him personally downstairs right now to permits and licensing.
Thank you, Michael. All righty, case number CB1112126. John and Francis Witherspoon, property located at 315 Michigan Avenue. Ms. Witherspoon is here, if you'll come forward. Ms. Witherspoon and be sworn in.
Hi. Hi.
You raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Witherspoon, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
This is one that's been back and forth for a little bit, and this is again a situation where we have an owner that needed additional services for a remedy, and this is where she's gone before the commission to seek a rezoning. The rezoning has been approved, and so at this point, what we need is for her to go ahead and get her permits and give us a timeline for completion. So we'll ask 30 days for her to do that by next cutoff. Come in with a with permits and a timeline for the completion of the improvements necessary. As you recall, this was a fire damaged structure, and they needed some authority to zoning authority before they could move forward.
Okay, Ms. Witherspoon. Just so you know, if you, what the staff is asking is for us to amend our previous order, allowing you till next month to bring the property into compliance.
More or less, we're applying for
the necessary permits you need to bring the property into compliance. That's just a summation of what he said. But at this time, you have an opportunity.
I appreciate that. I had hoped that we would have the permit by now, not understanding the zoning process and all that staff was doing. They had mentioned a roofing contractor before, and so when we got our plans after that was approved, so we finished our plans. So I called Mr. Roberts to see if we could email or fax the application. And he said no, if the homeowner was going to do the work, they had to be present, because if you weren't present when you applied, then that meant you really weren't going to be doing the work yourself or something. So, but at that time, he said, do you have your roofing engineer? And that was a mistake on our part, or we would have probably had it already. So we are getting that now. It was more of a problem than what we realized that it was going to be. So I do appreciate this, and by next month, we should be well on our way, hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, if I just clarification, as you can see, it's going to take more than next cutoff to actually get the job done.
Oh, right. Yes.
So what we're looking for is a timeline for the job as well as the permits in hand by for our next.
Ms. Witherspoon, what are you all proposing would be the summation to fix the property?
Well, because the city has something about percentages on value of property, we cannot put as much money into the reconstruction or the fixing of the property, as because then you go over and you can't do it, you have to demolish. I don't understand all that. But anyway, we're trying to live with it, even though I don't understand it all. So what we have decided is that we will get it all structurally safe, and the upstairs we're just going to use as storage. We won't even finish it. It won't be part of the residence anymore. So that's our only choice, and then to get it, you know, so that it is, in fact, it looks much better than this. I mean, if you ride by. So
how long do you all think it's going to take for you to do what you said you're going to do?
Depends on a lot what Mr. Roberts approves for us to do.
Yeah.
But I would say several months, maybe January, February of 2014. I would love to think that it would be finished before the second anniversary of the fire.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we're really not asking her to have that number today. We don't believe she could have that number. But if she can come back after when she obtains a permit and have an opportunity to review what actually they'll be doing at the next meeting, we'll be asking if she can come in with a timeline of what they plan to do, how they plan to do it. I think they should be able to have some thought as to how they plan to accomplish the project as a whole.
Mr. Jackson, the only reason I'm asking is because this was before us today for the action of imposing a fine, not an update. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm used to seeing when we want an update. So that's that wasn't a misprint, was it? Okay.
No.
So, and that's why I wanted to amend our previous order to give the proper timeline, but we can't give the proper timeline until we...
Just bring it back next month.
Yeah, we're in a similar situation as the prior case in that, except the difference is we have action being taken here that allows us to be able to know something when we come back next
time. Any other questions from from board?
The zoning change was to allow you to live in this house in a commercial area. Is that what the...
Well, it's a residential area, and some years back, a swath along US 1 was taken back, I think, three or four lots. And this was like the last, or the next one
that
over.
That didn't put you into a CRA. That's
just no, it was more like a BP, and they changed it to a RP.
Yeah.
And so it's still somewhat commercial.
Well, the commission approved it, so it's fine.
Right. Oh yes, it was all
something
out of their
control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
All right. Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until October 2nd to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board.
So moved.
Second.
Is that correct?
No.
No?
No.
All in favor for minutes.
I think it would be to amend to bring the case back to the October 10th meeting for the presentation or for permits.
Permits.
And progress report for compliance.
Okay. I'm moving that.
Then we need to amend our original order because that's the reason we had this date on here.
Yes.
Do we know what our... No?
It complicates and then it'll be complicated.
So
this is here for hearing to impose fine today.
Right.
Just do a First Amendment order of non-compliance with hearing to impose fine at the next meeting.
Okay. I withdraw my motion. Original motion.
Mr. Sino, could you say that again?
I'm saying you've made it. You've had an original order of non-compliance.
Right.
Hearing to impose fine for today.
Right.
So you want to amend your previous order to change the hearing to impose fine for the next meeting? You can impose a fine if you do nothing, or you can give it more time if it's necessary.
Right, that was the original motion. Just wanted to make sure.
So is the imposing the fine, is that for us to get the building permit or for us to be completed by next month?
If you get a building permit, you get a certain amount of months. To
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
And that's between you and
us. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
What it's saying is that we are not really changing the status until
the motion is still good or not.
Let me restate the motion. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until October 10th to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
I make the motion.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Ms. Witherspoon, what we've done is allowed you till next month to come back and give us a update.
Thank you.
On the process. All righty, case number 4, CB061355, Richard Matt, property located at 311 San Juan Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, this one's the city is requesting. This is case number 311 San Juan Avenue, and the inspector is Danny Garcia. The staff is this was back before the board for a determination of a compliance date, and I believe part of the problem was that This is a situation where it's an uncooperative tenant, and they are getting an eviction. Is that what's going on right now?
Yes, I may. The property was vacant at the time because of the arrests that were made, and the tenant was a woman that was in the hospital, and she now came out of the hospital, and now she's back in the house, and she is being evicted. So being that she's back in the house, there's not much we can do in the property. I believe it's under bank-owned, under foreclosure.
So the general status, our position at this time is that we continue until the December meeting, and so that some of those matters that they just discussed will be cleaned up by then.
All right. This is a case we can continue. There's no compliance state. All right. So the chair will entertain a motion. Continuing case number CB061355 till our December 12, 2013 meeting. Is there such a motion?
Did you say December?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Motion made by Ms. Himes.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bournes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 5, CB081380, Salvatore and Linda Lomonaco, property located at 219 Magnolia Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
Good morning, sir. If you can come to the microphone, introduce yourself, give us your address, and be sworn in.
All right. The address that's in question?
Your address, where you reside, sir.
Oh, okay. Sal Lomonaco. I live at 6211 Yosemite Drive in Port Orange.
All right. If you can raise your right hand, be sworn in, please.
Of course.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll get an opportunity to respond. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. This is case for the property at 219 Magnolia Avenue. The inspector is Danny Garcia. Mr. Lomonaco was not a local resident. He was a resident of, he was from California, and that was part of his challenge before. He is now local and staying local until this is remedied. He's making progress. The request of the city is that we amend this to the next cutoff.
Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent till October 10th, 2013 to bring the property into compliance. We return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. No, I'm sorry. If you'll withdraw the motion, Mr. Bournes, and Mr. Smart withdraw your second. I did not hear from the respondent.
Certainly.
All righty. I'm sorry, sir. You have an opportunity to respond at this time if you would like before we entertain any motions. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What staff is doing is amending the order, allowing you till next month to bring the property into compliance since you're working on it, then be returned to us if the property is not in compliance for consideration of a fine.
That's fine. We suspect it'll be done this week.
Okay.
This coming week, I should say.
And basically, there's progress made, and he should have it in compliance by a couple of weeks, he said. So
okay. All righty. Right. Thank you, sir. I didn't not want to slight you of that opportunity. All righty. At this time, the chair has entertained the motion from Mr. Bournes to allow the respondent till October 10, 2013 to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Motion made by Mr. Bournes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
I heard you.
Seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 6061363, Charles Shea, property located at 700 Winchester Street. Is the respondent present?
The respondent was present. He spoke with the inspector, the inspector was okay with him leaving. The request of the city is that Mr. Shea is making good progress and he's close to completion, and so the city is asking if he can have it amended. We can amend it to the next cutoff so that he can get this thing done.
These aren't current pictures then, are they?
The current pictures are closer to the end. He now has a full privacy fence up all the way around the property. All the junk vehicles have been removed. All the outside storage has been removed. The actual front yard has been dug up for new plumbing.
Which he does have permits for.
Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah, so he's doing basically what he said he was going to do. He got his permits and all that. Okay.
Correct. He has no tenant?
No tenant. He is so living on the property.
Rental license is not moot anymore.
That's going to be, you won't see that anymore. That's going to be dropped. He's living on the property himself.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until October 10, 2013 to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081382, Carlos Barbeco. Property located at 501 Westmoreland Road. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This one, the inspector is, again, it's Mr. Stinson. This is here for imposition of a fine. They are making satisfactory progress, and Mr. Stinson is asking that this be amended to the next cutoff for compliance.
Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent until October 10, 2013 to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
A motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081391, Lorraine Tharps. Property located 893 Derbyshire Road. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is the property at 893 Derbyshire Road. The inspector, I'm sorry, that's not correct.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that is correct. Okay. Yeah, the inspector is John Stinson. And on this case, the city is requesting a fine, and I will ask Mr. Stinson if he can give further information to the board regarding that request.
Okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
The city is asking for a fine of $150 per day. This property is unoccupied, has been unoccupied for quite some time, has definite pool issues, unsanitary pool, unsecure pool. The actual structure of the house is grossly dilapidated. We have roof problems, broken windows, broken doors. It's just basically falling apart. At our last staff meeting, the city is intending on to foreclose on this property to try to get some relief, at minimum to get this pool squared away. So, in short, the city is asking for $150 a day.
Cap of 15, right?
Yeah. Is the owner a resident?
Capped at 15 because
the owner is not local. Not local, okay.
Correct.
Since you brought it up, Mr. Stinson, I just need to know whether or not we need to make a separate motion. Efforts already been taken to secure the pool?
I think the city would prefer to have the authority to.
Gotcha. All righty. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion. Fine and respondent $150 a day with a cap of $15,000. $150 a day until compliance is achieved with a cap of $15,000 per day. Effective today. Is there such a motion?
Moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All righty. Chair will entertain a motion authorizing the city to take necessary steps to secure the pool so that it is no longer a danger. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms.
We include on the motion to lien the property for the appropriate costs.
Yes.
Take the necessary steps to secure the pool and lien the property for the associated costs with securing the pool. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081392, Douglas Calloway, property located at 895 Derbyshire Road. Is the respondent present?
I think the client is up September 10th.
Case numbers. No problem. Thank you, Amy. Case number CB081392 is in compliance as of, what was the date? 9/10/2013. Thank you. All righty. At this time, we had originally moved case number 10 to the back of our agenda, but the respondent's attorney is present, so we'll move that back up at this time. Case number CB031326, Monica Allen Smith Estate, property located at 915 School Street. I believe representative and his attorney is present. We'll ask the attorney to please state his name for the record.
David Glasser.
David Glasser is here to represent the property owner, Monica Allen Smith Estate.
Yes.
We will hear from staff, Mr. Glasser, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is your client going to be testifying?
He may be, yes.
Okay.
Can you stand up to the microphone and state your name, please?
Sure, good morning. John Harvey Smith, Daytona Beach.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a case that's been before you for some time now, 915 School Street. As you may recall, this is a situation where this was estate property. The person residing in the property wanted to remain and had done some of the requested remedies of to the violation, but the principal remedy of damage to roof was something that he was holding back and not going forward on because of an anticipated foreclosure. He had gotten an attorney involved, and they had been working month after month trying to resolve that. And my understanding from the attorney, and you can hear from Mr. Glasser further, but I believe that their status now is that the foreclosure is now no longer their problem. They resolved that issue, and so the issue now was getting back on getting the repairs done. So what we're going to do is ask for, I spoke with the inspector. The inspector feels that this can be done within by the next cut off the things that are needed. You know, obviously we'll be happy to hear from them, but that's the position that so we're asking that this be amended to the next cut off for full compliance.
Okay. Mr. Glasser, sir, you can come up and talk and let us know.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for your courtesy on the delay. I appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think Mr. Jackson's kind of articulated this properly. I've been working with Mr. Smith. His mom owned the property. I think the board probably knows this. His mom owned the property. He's been living there with his brother, who's disabled. He has brothers and sisters. When his mom passed away, the property went into foreclosure. My client has had some financial issues and also taking care of his disabled brother. I work with him, and I know Mr. Smith has worked very hard. I can say that because I've been working hand in hand with him on this. We were able to stop the foreclosure, and then Mr. Smith, we obtained the signatures of his brothers and sisters so the property could be placed in his name and his disabled brother's name. He finished that. The foreclosure took place on August 12th of this year. He's been working very hard to do it step by step. I think he's cleaned out the debris the city was concerned about. My understanding is that's been done. We acknowledge there's a problem with the roof. What we're trying to do is, my understanding is the city now wants to, we have to finish up her probate now regarding his mom so the property can be formally placed in his name and his mom's name. He's got papers through SunTrust where that's been done. So we've been working on this step by step. So I know he intends on fixing the roof. I don't have any doubt about that. He does need more time on that, and so that's what we're asking for. I think we're going to finish the probate, and then I think the city has a Department of Economic Opportunity. I think he's been in touch with the city to see if he can obtain some monies. He's just started a new job, so he's working very hard. So we do need some more time. I don't know if the court wants any more testimony. I'll be glad to offer some testimony from Mr. Smith if that's necessary.
Okay. Any questions at this time for members of the board?
Well, how long a period of time are you looking at?
He believes it's 3 months. We've got to finish the probate.
How long do you estimate that will take?
We've got to get that. It should.
Have you advertised yet, David?
Not yet, no. But
that's
I think.
Days right.
No, that's probably going to be the only property is the house. That's the only property in the probates. We may be able to do this. No, there's no will. So it's pretty straightforward.
That's why it's a probate. Yeah.
So I'm trying to be optimistic. It's probably 3 months, maybe 6 months. But I don't know.
For probate?
Well, I'm not seeing what if he's trying to, not necessarily the probate, but to get the roof repaired. But what we can do, I mean, I'd be glad to come back. We can report to the board. I'm not sure when we would need to do that.
Do you have estimates for the cost of the roof repair?
You can step up to the mic, Mr. Smith.
I'm up here. I don't know how much it would be.
No, I have not even obtained a permit. The issue was to get the house out of foreclosure. We closed on it on my mom's birthday, August 12th, this past August. And so the next step, of course, is to get it in officially, as Attorney Glasser said, into my name through the court dockets and city dockets on paper to obtain assistance for repair of the roof and also obtain the permits to start that as well.
How much it would be? The board wants to know how much you think it would be.
No, I do not.
Is it a flat roof?
It's a slight A-frame. It's a split-level home, 3,000-square-foot home, but the roof rocks to turn dilapidated.
I say it now.
Okay. The rest of the structure, of course, is structurally sound. The yard, right. The property itself is up to par, but the roof does need repair.
Okay. Question for staff. Mr. Lopez, have the rest of the items been addressed?
The position of staff is that at this time there are some things that, as of the 10th, and I believe there are some photos that may show there is still some outside storage that needs to be taken care of. So that's one of our concerns. We want the outside remedied and kept up while we have whatever other delays that we may be looking at. So it's the desire of staff that we are in a position we have to watch and monitor, just as we have up to this point, on a monthly or bi-monthly basis to know what's going on and know that he's diligently. I mean, I understand the expression that it's a lot of work and a lot that's being done, but one, we want it kept up in the interim and that they're making the progress and getting it done, and that we're not sitting here spinning our wheels. I mean, I applaud where they've gone up to this point, and we desire and hope that they continue to get things done.
What we can do is bring it back next month when the understanding that the front has to be clean and the probate has to be started.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it's not that, then we can talk about a fine at that point.
Okay.
And maybe then we can have some clearer...
It's not going to be complete.
Gotcha. A little more clarity on time periods. I don't know if that's realistic with the courts, but I'm sure Mr. Glass can give us the best he got.
I can be in touch with the city on that.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? If not, Chair, we'll entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent till October 10th to bring the property into compliance, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, recognizing that according to the attorney, that probate is to be entered, or during that time period, the process is to be entered during that time period, and also recognizing that we're amending our previous order, asking the respondent to address those issues not related to the roof, to see that those issues are addressed and correct it by our next meeting, since they are not related to the roof and not time sensitive as the roof is.
Very good.
That's fine.
Very
All right. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion?
How long is that motion?
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, committee.
It's like a PCF meeting in three of
us. There you are. That's true.
Yeah. We all work together when we have all three of us.
How about that? That's a reunion at City Hall.
That's good.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day, everybody. Thank you.
Case number CB081389 is in compliance as of September 4th, 2013. Case number 12, which is CB081390, Jonah Christian, property located at 549 Park Drive. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Property at 549 Park Drive. The inspector is Edwin Lopez. Oh, I'm not. I flipped to the wrong page?
No, you're right.
Number 12.
Okay, good.
This is before the board for imposition of a fine. There's been no follow-up from the respondent. The city is asking for a fine to be imposed, $50 per day, to a maximum of $15,000.
He's made no communication. Wasn't the gentleman here before stating that he was planning on buying this property and moving?
Yes, he was here. He was out of New York City.
Right. Okay.
He was trying to bring materials from New York City.
Right.
Nothing has been done as of the 10th when I visited the property.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 a day effective today up to a cap of $15,000 or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Move.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. CB 071376, Robert B. Hume and Robert H. Hume, property located at 712 North Wild Olive Avenue. The respondent is present. If you can make your way to the microphone, identify yourself and give us your property address.
Name is Robert Hume, H-U-M-E. The property is at 712 North Wild Olive Avenue.
Which Mr. Hume are you?
I'm the second one, and that by the way, is an error. That's I'm not Robert H., I'm Robert W.
Okay. So.
Mr. Hume, is that where you reside?
Yes.
Okay.
Raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Hume, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you the opportunity to respond, sir.
I am a neighbor, although I don't know Mr. Hume, I am aware of issues at the house since it's three houses down from me. Okay, will not.
You don't have a problem.
Okay.
Okay, this is case number 13 on the agenda. The inspector is Tom Klieg. This is before the board for imposition of a fine. This was one that we had continued from. It was on for imposition of a fine last meeting. We continued it at the request of an attorney who had contacted us on Mr. Hume's behalf, Mr. Johns. We haven't heard any follow-up from anyone from Mr. Johns as far as regarding Mr. Hume or the status of the property is still in noncompliance. Are we requesting a fine of $50 per day to be imposed?
Right. Mr. Hume, you have an opportunity to come forward now and talk to us and let us know what's going on, sir.
All right, sir. I'm surprised that I'm here today. We thought we were through. The big problem that we had apparently was a hole in the soffit. Now, this was not the soffit of the house. This was the soffit of the guest house. It's referred to in here as a garage. It's not a garage. It's never been a garage. It was built at the same time the house was built back in 1923, and it's got a stucco exterior to it. We were puzzled over the soffit being in noncompliance because we couldn't tell that it was. The soffit on my side of the fence, okay, let me see, that's the garage, that's the carport area, that doesn't have anything to do with this. In short, we thought we were in compliance. The soffit that had the problem was an area that I never see. My neighbor uses the side of my guest house as his fence. And so that was his side where we never, ever go. The soffit on my side of the house was in perfect condition. It was only on his side where it had a hole in it.
Okay.
There's a reason for that, too, by the way. He has one of these heating air conditioning systems that pulls the moisture out of the air and converts it. It means that he has a sprinkler that runs 365 days a year. And that was the side of the house that caught it. So I think that's why the rot took place. Make a long story short, we did not plug or fix the hole in it. We just completed redoing it entirely. I had my guy rip it all out and put it in. And so now it's all brand new. And we had Tom here the other day to take a look at that. we, as far as the painting or anything like that, we thought we had done it. As far as picking up any debris, we thought we had done it. So I am surprised to be here. I thought I was in compliance.
Mr. Klieg, if you could give us a little clarity here.
Yeah, yesterday I got a hold of him. It's the first time since April that we really actually did a reinspection. It was a police issue originally and a neighborhood complaints. The soffit we were talking about, it looked like a garage because I didn't have access to it, but I guess he says it's a guest house. He replaced probably 8 foot of the soffit. So you can see that the pictures, there's still mold, there's peeling paint, still outside storage in the back, nothing has been done. I think he was saying that he couldn't afford some of the stuff, but...
No.
Basically, these pictures as of yesterday.
Yes, as of yesterday, right. Yesterday, and I went out there on the 6th when he wasn't there. So
okay.
We're getting no cooperation. It is a neighborhood complaint. Like I said, police issues were there numerous times, so... city's recommending a $50 day fine.
Not true, Tom. I'm sorry. I've been in constant touch with the officers ever since this all started because we've been trying to come into compliance. Once again, we were really confused over the soffit because I went out and looked at it, and it was fine.
Okay, Mr. Hume, recognizing what the pictures show as of yesterday.
I don't see this problem with the mold. I'm having trouble with that.
Recognizing the pictures that the city has, and I'm not stating that this is what the board's going to do, just want to know for personal information, do you feel you'll be able to fix these problems if we gave you until next month?
Sure.
Okay.
But I really need to get a definition of what the problem is.
Yes, we will make sure Mr. Klieg meets with you so that you can have a clear understanding of what the issues are that need to be addressed.
Right. Do you see the mold on the building?
No.
Can you see that? You can't see that.
Well, right.
I can see it in the pictures.
Pause that picture there. Mr. Hume, you see there on the side of your building?
Yeah, okay. But I've had the house pressure cleaned.
It may need to be repainted.
Well, no, it's a stucco with the paint sort of built into it. It's one of those, it's an old job. It's 1923.
Is it mold or discoloration?
Mold.
Okay.
Well, as far as I was concerned, it was discoloration, so there we go.
And you can see in the picture, you can determine yourself.
Okay. All right.
You may have to call somebody in that's a professional and take a look at it.
Yeah, because I didn't do that before.
Write it up. If it's not mold, they'll give you some indication of that.
Okay.
Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until October 10, 2013 to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion?
Did you give it the second or the 10th?
10, I thought.
Mr.
Allowing,
Chair.
Okay, I did.
Mr. Chair, this has been a volatile issue. With numerous complaints, and so the staff's position is that rather than amend, that this be continued, and that any fine, if he does not get this remedy by next meeting, be retroactive to this date.
Don't amend, continue. All right. Got to get that verbiage down. Do you withdraw your motion, Mr. Smart?
Oh, man, that's
okay. All righty. Ms. Himes, you withdraw your second. Let me just restate what staff is stating. To amend our order would be to start brand new next month. To continue our current order allows us the opportunity for us to revert the fine back till today if the problem has not been addressed. All right. Chair will entertain a motion continuing case number CB071376 until our October 10th meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day if the property is not brought into compliance retroactive until today.
Okay, or the current compliance date, which would have been set before. The previous order needed to be in compliance by September 4th.
Okay.
Continuing that consideration, it would be effective September
4th. Yeah. By saying continue, you covered all of that, Mr.
Okay.
Brown.
Gotcha. Thank you. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 14, CB081393, is in compliance as
Thank you, Mr. Rapp.
Yes, sir. As of September 5th, 2013, case number CB081394 is in compliance as of August 20th, 2013, moving into our new cases so that we could expedite these. Those present in the audience, if you all would not mind coming up and letting the secretary know which case you have so that we could expedite these. All right. Thank you. Gentlemen, if you all can just identify to her your case number and then go ahead and take your seat. All right. Okay. All righty. We'll take a 5-minute break for restrooms, and then we'll reconvene with these cases in the order. Time is now 10:30. We'll reconvene at 10:36.
Reconvene the board. 5 minutes. Okay. We will reconvene the board. That's another case, then. Okay. We'll move on. We'll
actually, I can do a couple of announcements, and I can get to this morning. Number 16 is withdrawn.
Number 16.
Yes, Mr. Withdrawn.
Okay.
Case number 18 for CEB 0913100, 340 South Seagrave Street, is in compliance as of September 10th.
Alright.
Case number 20, CEB 0913102, 4572 Orange Avenue, is in compliance as of September 10th, 2013. And I'll go ahead and announce number
20, right?
I'm sorry?
That was number 20.
Yes. Yes, ma'am, number 20.
Number 20.
And I'll go ahead and read into the record case number 26, CEB 0913108, is in compliance as of August 28th, 2013.
All right. Starting on page 5 of our agenda, Madam Secretary, is number 17 present?
Yes, sir.
All right. Number 17, case number CB091399, Louis E. Gonzalez Jr. and Alyssa Thomas. Property located at 332 South Seagrave Street. The respondent is present. If you come forward, sir, and identify yourself and be sworn in, we'll hear from staff after that point.
Yep. My name is Louis Gonzalez, E. Gonzalez. I live at 332 South Seagrave.
Can you raise your right hand, please, sir?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Gonzalez, at the time of notice, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations did exist?
Yeah.
Okay.
You need to be there. They need to have that on record.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us, sir?
Pictures here tell the story. The property remains in noncompliance. It is owner-occupied property. And the staff is requesting that he be in compliance by next cutoff. And this is the inspector on this case is Edwin Lopez.
All right. Mr. Gonzalez, what can you tell us, sir? Can you come forward?
Yes, I did mostly all of the repairs that need to be done without a permit. So I am looking for a permit to do the roof. As you can see, the rafters are bad. I am applying for a permit, but I was getting all the parts first before I applied for a permit. I did apply for a permit 7 years back for the roof, but it expired. I got in a motorcycle accident and it expired. So I have to reapply.
Questions from the board?
I just need a little more time to fix the roof.
How much time do you feel you need, sir?
Well, I'm going through a divorce right now, and he said in 30 days I'll be divorced. That's costing me $1,400. And I tried to apply for a loan, but they said I have to be, my wife left like 3 years back. So I have to be completely either out of her out of the house, or she's still on the deed. So the lawyer's working on that.
How long do you think you'll need to square all that away?
I would say give me 90 days. I'll have it up to par. But I'll have the permit and all that within the next date.
Any questions from the board? Mr. Jackson, any response?
If Ms. Gonzalez will get the permit, we'll request that that be part of the order. He has a permit in hand by the next cutoff. And he takes care of the non-roof stuff. He still has a lot of debris that still needs to be taken care of, according to the inspector, as of his review, as of his inspection yesterday. That he remains in contact with the inspector. He's visually seen the inspector, but pretty much blew him off, as at least that's the perspective of the inspector, and has had no contact with him. With those understandings, then, yeah, that additional time, if that's what's necessary, it is a roof. We understand he has to have permits, and it may take him a little bit extra time, so we're okay with that, as long as he takes care of everything else and he has his permits in hand.
All right. Let me see if I can put that in the form of a motion. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent until October 2nd to bring the property in compliance with all non-roof issues, allowing the respondent until with permit in hand for the roof repairs, and allowing the respondent until December 4th to bring the property in compliance with all roofing issues. Is that correct?
Yes.
We want to come back and make sure he has the permit.
Well,
yes.
Permit in hand.
Permit is already in the order.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Well, the concern is just wanted to make sure that we actually have a review on it October.
We're going to review this October.
Okay. Right. Yes. But yes, everything is good.
All right. Do I need to restate that, Amy, or you got it?
Let me see if I have a motion to find the respondent non-compliant and allow until October 2nd to come into compliance with all issues except the roof, and require a roof permit be obtained by October 2nd, or failing that, return for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day for the at the October meeting, and further compliance with the roof by December 4th.
And maintaining reasonable contact with the inspector.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Gonzalez has given you until next month to address everything except the roof, except getting the roof permit in hand.
Okay.
We've given you until December to fix the roof, but also please make sure that you stay in contact with the inspector.
Okay. No problem.
So none of that order actually required a review for next month. So are we going to do a progress report or something?
Well, I thought the part of the motion was that the rest of the violations would be cleared. The non-roof violations would be cleared
so
by next month. I thought that was part of...
Or return
for a fund.
To the next meeting.
Right.
If they're not... Okay, that's
right.
Fine.
Right.
Said the or return. I'm sorry.
We got it. I'm sorry.
That's my. I live there.
Okay.
That's my main residence. Yes. Okay.
This will be in writing.
No problem.
Ms. Hines.
Could you like to explain that to him a little better? So
sure. Now, I think the staff needs to explain to him. Yeah, let's staff explain to him.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Anything unclear, please contact Mr. Dorfer so he can explain to you exactly what we did today.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Case number 18 is in compliance as of September 10th. Is 19 here?
Yes, 19 is here.
Case number 19, CEV0913101, Elton Grice, property located at 305 Division Street. The respondent is present. We'll ask him to come forward, be sworn in, identify himself. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, my name is Richard Grice, Elton Grice, which is on record to own the property. He's actually my brother. He's actually my mortgage holder. I actually own the property, so that's why I'm here.
Okay. Can you raise your hands and swear? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. And Mr. Grice, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations noted did exist at the property at the time of notice?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give an opportunity to respond.
Members of the board, the inspector in this case is Mr. Lopez, and this is the property at 305 Division Street. The rubbish and garbage and those types of violations, that aspect of the violation has been remedied. But the interior is still a problem. The property had a tenant, and so the inspector was not able to gain entry, so we would like, for whatever order is imposed, to include arranging the entry for the inspector, ordering that he provide entry for the inspector for a follow-up on the inspection, because now the property is vacant.
Yes.
Yeah, the property is vacant, so we would need that. But the property is a still in non-compliance. And I would ask that you give them till the next cutoff to come into compliance.
Mr. Grice, if you would, sir. Staff is asking that we give you until October 2nd to bring the property in compliance. The issues that have been addressed that need to be fixed on the inside, how long do you think it would take you to repair those?
Well, actually, sir, it's already been done. However, when I contact the inspector, I was actually working at the time, and he needed to be on the property. I was not able to get a hold of any family members, which would have been able to go over and unlock the door for him to make entry. So because of that, and the time was short, we just wasn't able to meet up.
Okay.
To inspect the building.
Make sure I got it correctly. So the issues have already been corrected. We just need an inspection to confirm.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Now, you actually have two issues. One of them I didn't make clear, and that's because he has no occupational license. So I'm sure it's inspection regarding that as well, just to make sure he's able to obtain his license. I don't know if he's even made the effort yet to go obtain
but
it is rental property.
Sorry. I actually did apply for it, and then the lady in the office called me and said that I didn't need one. I just need to had to be to get it renewed. So I did actually make the application out.
Okay, but all of that can be resolved.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that may be the confusion of the rental.
What's the confusion now?
I think it's the what do you call it? The license, the receipt, the tax receipt is what he needs. And that's a renewal, and he can obtain that then. Okay.
Okay. All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until October 2nd to bring the property into compliance for return to the board consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion?
Yeah. Do you live in the house, sir? You do not live in the house?
No, I do not.
Do you own the house?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And who is Richard? That's your brother that what?
No, that's me, ma'am.
You're Richard. So why does it say Elton here?
Elton is my brother. He's on record.
He's what?
He's on record as to the owner. That's on record. What happened was he gave me the money. It was a cash deal. He loaned me the money. We have a contract for deed.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So
the
transfer ownership at this point.
Okay. Okay.
So we're just adding him, right, at this time?
Yeah, let's add him to the
Just adding him to the notice.
Adding him
Well, I would recommend that it be added, or request that it be added. As also, just so you know, it's a duplex, and that may, but in either sense, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to make sure that we add you on, Mr. Grice.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Yeah. So no one's in there now?
No, no,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay. Okay. And what, Mr. Jackson, what did you say has been finished? The outside is taken care of?
He stated everything had been taken care of.
Except the inside stuff.
It hasn't had a chance to inspect.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's it.
You any have questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Just so you know, Mr. Rice, through that complexity, what we've done is given you one until next month to arrange time for the inspector to come in and make sure everything is up to par, also to obtain your rental license. If you want to rent it out, you know, through the process with the city.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bryce, hang on to the next case.
Oh, it's incompliant.
It's
incompliant. Yes. Okay. Yeah, how about that? The new case number 0913102 is incompliant as of September 10th.
We do have number 24.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and dispose of 21 if we can real quick. Case number 21CD091398. Main Street Properties 1 LLC. Property located at 228 Fairview Avenue. Is the respondent present? All right, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
It's tenant-occupied property. They needed a permit for the wooden ramp that they have, the new wooden ramp. They don't have a permit, and so we need them to obtain a permit. So no non-compliance, next cutoff to come into compliance.
Sure, I'll entertain a motion by the respondent and non-compliance, allowing the respondent until October 2nd to bring the property into compliance for return to the board consideration of the fine of $1,000 for the basis of such motion.
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. In discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number, what was it? 24. Case number 24, CED0913105, GEAC Side Investments, Inc. Property located at 121 South Grandview Avenue. Representative of the respondent is present, sir. If you'll come forward, identify yourself, give us your name, address, and be sworn in.
Good morning. My name is Joe Hopkins. I'm a civil engineer, representative of GEA. Yes, I do.
Mr. Hopkins, you will hear from staff.
Thank you.
Prior to that, we acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice.
That's correct.
All right, we'll hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is before the board for compliance or non-compliance. Inspector is Daniel Garcia. The property is in compliance in all areas except for the need for the occupational license, so it remains in non-compliance. Need for the building permit. So it's in non-compliance, and we need a building permit, and we would ask that that be taken care of within the next, by next cutoff. So non-compliance, next cutoff.
Alrighty.
Anything further?
What's the building permit for?
A building permit for the upper second balcony there. There was some work done, and it needed a permit. And it was not done correctly. I actually have another case that because of that, the water is leaking through downstairs. So
they never applied.
Yeah, this was an after work permit. The work was done,
okay. And
I was called in for... The actual complaint was the trash and debris that was left on the front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then within doing so, then I found and I heard that there was work done without permit.
Okay, so basically this is
it's right, this picture.
Who did the work?
From what I understand, a friend or a nephew or something.
Okay,
I'm not
so
sure.
There's no
that.
Contractor involved.
Correct.
Mr. Hopkins, you can come on up, sir. Can you tell us?
Yes, sir. The debris has been cleaned up. It was a tenant that in an estate and a long story. But the debris has been cleaned up, and I conducted an inspection of the property on August 29th, and there was a flashing that was placed on the upper balcony, a metal flashing. I don't believe a permit was obtained for that, and there was a deck covering, which I'm questionable whether a permit's even required for that. So I'm going to work directly with the building department, secure whatever permits are necessary. We can remove the work. It's the flashing that was placed is non-structural. It's not a issue of public safety, health, or welfare. So we'll get it squared away for sure.
How much time do you require?
We'll have this resolved before next board meeting for sure.
Okay.
Chair will entertain a motion. Finder respondent of non-compliance, allowing the respondent until October 2nd to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine
up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
No.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay. All righty, case number 22, CB0913103, Secured Capital Fund 2, LLC, property located at 402 Butler Boulevard. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
We have been in communication with an attorney on behalf of the respondent, and actually have an email here where Mr. Garcia, Danny Garcia, indicated he'll pass along the response from the attorney on their behalf. And what that says is very short, a couple of sentences. As discussed, I wanted to send you an email to confirm our previous conversation wherein we agreed that the property in question is currently in violation, and we ask that the board reset the case for the next hearing date. We are attempting to quiet title to the property and will decide what direction of remedy will take from there. Thank you for your assistance in this matter. David Johnson, Law Office of David Johnson, LLC. So what we'll be asking is that the board just find them in non-compliance and we'll set it for a compliance date based on their whatever they tell us going on when they come next meeting.
Non-compliance next cutoff, more or less.
Sure.
All righty.
Yes.
Chair will entertain a motion, finder and respondent. Non-compliance, allowing the respondent until October 2nd to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Due to the property owner being the same, we will combine the motions for case number CB0913103 and 0913104 for the same type of motion due to it being the same owner, and I'm assuming the same letter applies to both.
Same circumstances, that's correct.
All righty. Chair will entertain such a motion.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That takes care of 23. Case number 24 has just been disposed of. Case number 25, CB0913107, Michelle R. Wise and Lynette C. Johnson. Property located at 1313 Margina Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Actually, this property is in compliance, but this is one where we want the board, or we're requesting that the board make a finding of non-compliance and then compliance, so that, or non-compliance and dismissal.
Non-compliance
and
dismissal. Yeah.
Right.
Non-compliance, incompliance now, and it's dismissed.
Okay. So, in effect, the old will fine.
The way we used to do
gotcha.
A will fine.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And sure. This, I'm sorry, I wasn't sure. Oh, that the that it's yeah. Well, they will announce that it's illegal parking and
both parking driveway.
Gotcha. With the boat.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent currently in compliance, previously in non-compliance.
That's all we have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So moved.
That's it.
And
the case be dismissed.
And that the case be dismissed.
Yes, it was 8/26.
Do I need to add that into the motion name, or you got it?
I got it.
Okay. That's good. Go ahead and add it in. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent non-compliance in compliance as of August 26th. Currently, the case is being dismissed.
The reason we're doing that is so that we can bring them up again.
I don't recall. I just have a question. I don't recall saying that that was part of it. It's not in the minutes that the case will be dismissed. I mean, I understand that we're doing, but is that part of the language we need to put in it?
I don't know if the actual verbiage, and I'll leave that to Mr. Cena, is that
we're saying that the case wasn't at one time in non-compliance.
Right.
It is now in compliance.
Right.
And you want an order against, and you want the case dismissed.
Okay, but we don't say that for other properties are in compliance. That's all.
City's position is that we don't need to say dismissed.
Okay. That
but
would make
I mean, it so has the same effect. That some compliance was and now.
All right. Okay. Chair will entertain a motion. Find and respond to non-compliance in compliance as of August 26. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Kundig. Question from Mr. Smart.
Yes. I thought that we were going to have
then it was non-compliance. It's in compliance now, but it will find if, in fact, that was,
yeah, that's
if
what
in fact that boat reappears.
We discussed this last time. We were adding that verbiage in unnecessarily. When we find it in non-compliance, in compliance, we're already allowing staff to bring it back up for a repeat offender.
Okay.
We were just making extra verbiage that we didn't need to have.
We also couldn't was previously
a
non-compliance for
the
annual client, and for any future repeat violation, it will be returned for consideration of a fine up to
$5,000.
That's the way we used to do it.
You could
include that.
Yeah, you could say all of that, but the statute says it.
Statute says it. We don't need to say it.
Right, and it'll be in order.
Save my salivary glands.
All right. Here,
any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That exhausts our agenda in the miscellaneous business.
Boy, exhaust. Good word.
Oh, yes, Mr. Pino.
Yeah. I provided you with an article filled with liens, code enforcement liens, and the City of Palm Bay case. This will be a chance to read it. Go to the article about the article we do here.
Can you send that to us?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I can make copies, or everybody who wants to be paper friendly, I can scan and email it to you.
All right,
that
go.
Would work.
Sure.
The other issue with Pierre Maurice here. We cannot discuss things that are not on the agenda. This is a quasi-judicial board. If you want to put it on a future agenda for us to discuss something, that's fine. But we cannot on our own discuss anything, any case, especially if one we've heard already, if it's not on the agenda. Because that person has the due process to be here.
Right.
Could I get a rerun of what was going on? I understood they were up here and complained of a case that we'd already ruled.
Right, matter that we've already.
Well, we're not going to sit here and listen to people come weeks later, and talk about a case and tell us that our procedures are lousy.
Right. Whether he did it, whether it was not, it's not on the agenda. We can't discuss it.
Right. Fine.
Okay. The city wants to bring it up for rehearing, or they want to charge the person again. That's their decision.
Right.
I agree.
The law specifically says there must be a case or controversy provided by coming from the city, not from us.
And it absolutely says that the board cannot bring a case.
We cannot bring it up.
To the
right.
And forth.
I just want to make a formal request that next month we talk about nuisance abatement. I've become aware of a lot of activities in the community where police are called, and I don't know whether that's for us, for the code board, but I know we have a nuisance. It's just confusing to me, but...
Isn't there a nuisance abatement?
But we can talk about it next month. I'd like to know what the rules are. I know that some cities have their own rules.
That's all. I thought we had something coming up. We may have some on the agenda.
I think the confusion is some cities refer to abating a nuisance when they're for code.
Right.
Yeah, and so we'll discuss all.
That's what
like
I wanted. I just want a discussion. I can understand what we're talking about.
Okay.
Any other items from staff?
I make a motion on your turn.
Welcome.
Hold on. Mr. Harrington, anything? Mr. Smart?
No.
Ms. Kundig?
No.
Mr. Borns? Ms. Himes? We'll let you close the day, Ms. Lucas. Anything?
No, I'm fine. Enjoy it.
And welcome aboard.
Thank you.
All righty. Seeing nothing further, we are adjourned.